Psalm 112, beginning at the first verse. This is God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Boys and girls, I remember as a young person that when the phone rang at our house, I always wanted it to be for me. And maybe you have that too. Is it for me? Is it for me? I'd always ask my parents, who is it? Is it for me? I'd always want the phone to be for me. Now, though, when the phone rings, part of me braces myself. And part of me, to be very frank, even hopes that it's not for me. Oh, it's not for me, is it? I've completely changed the way I react to a phone ring. Now, that's not a plea. Please don't take it this way. This isn't a plea for everyone in the congregation to stop calling me. That's not what it is at all. But it's just a reflection of the reality that the longer we live, the more we experience this world as a world filled with bad news. It's a world filled with bad news. And I'm preaching this message tonight because it just hit me. Overwhelmingly almost, this past few weeks especially. They've been weeks filled strikingly with what people would call bad news. Our daughter called. She had applied for a job, and the application went really well. The interview went swimmingly. She said she very much expected to get the job. Sorry. We're hiring someone else. There are other applications that were made, and I know that the news came back and it wasn't good news. Right after the prayer meeting this past week, a man who lived just down the road from where we were having our prayer meeting is sick and dies of a sudden brain aneurysm. We hear the news that our dearly loved brother, Pastor Ken Smith, was left bereaved of his dear wife of many years. We hear of the result of a meeting with a doctor of the serious diagnosis of later stage cancer. A friend of many of us in the States already has the news that he has a tumor on his thyroid, and then he has the news he has a pulmonary embolism, that he has a blood clot in his lungs, and now he's on medication for the rest of his life. The last couple of days, I had an email, please pray for me, I've just lost my employment. And on it goes. On and on it goes. And that's just the things that have happen to us in our own circumstances and lives. You know, we hear the news, however you get your news, and it's rarely good news. Chemical attacks in Syria, flooding, whatever it is, bad news after bad news after bad news. And that's what's happened. We may be waiting for news about one circumstance or another, and we may be very much wondering, will it be good news or bad news with things coming up in our lives? What's obvious, I think, is that Christians, believers, are not immune from evil tidings. That's the way the King James translates verse 7, evil tidings. We call it bad news. But in Psalm 112, we have really an amazing statement about a believer in this very regard, about bad news. And in Psalm 112, verse 7, this issue of bad news is the subject. We have first an amazing reaction to bad news, and then we have the reason for that reaction. Psalm 112 as a whole is one of the parts of Scripture that's an acrostic. And so the different parts of this psalm all begin with consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It would be like doing a poem, boys and girls, that the first line started with A, the second line starts with B, the third line starts with C, all the way through the whole alphabet. Some suggest that Psalm 112 is actually an expansion on the last part of Psalm 111. So verse 10 of Psalm 111 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who fear his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." But what are the consequences of that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, Psalm 112, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands." And then many blessings are listed there for us. So some see it as a continuation of Psalm 111. John Calvin summarized Psalm 112 in part by saying, "As the majority of mankind expect to prosper by evil deeds, the prophet enumerates the blessings of God which attend those who worship him in purity, in order that we may know that in aiming at a life of piety and morality, we shall not lose our reward." There are great and tremendous blessings that come, boys and girls, young people, in following the Lord, in trusting the Lord, in fearing the Lord. The world won't tell you that. The world would say, you want real blessing? You want good times, good things? Forget Christianity. But that's foolish talk. "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and finds great delight in his commands." That's where true blessing is to be found. But specifically, here is a blessing that's mentioned in verse 7 for tonight. "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord." What an amazing reaction. He doesn't fear bad news. So many people are in slavery to the fear of bad news. They're so anxious about the future. They're worrying about tomorrow. What's going to happen? What's the news going to be? And they're in slavery to that fear. Their minds are almost totally paralyzed by the what-ifs and what-nows and what-nexts of life. He is not afraid of bad news. Now, we have to be careful here because there can be a type of life that doesn't react to bad news, but it isn't a godly kind of reaction just because someone doesn't fear. It can be almost an inhuman kind of reaction. If people are just so unfeeling and uncaring that they don't care about evil things in this world and in this life. That's not Christian either. Again, Calvin said, the children of God may also manifest symptoms of fear at the prospect of impending danger. For were they all together regardless of such calamities, such indifference would be the result not of confidence in God, but of insensibility. We recognize that there is real evil in this world. There are things that are bad and sad in this world. Christianity, the Christian faith, does not make us live in a dream world or an unreal world. There are evils and dangers and hard things and sad things. But the believer does not give into fear. They are not crushed by that fear. They do not allow fear to dictate their thinking or their behavior. What an amazing reaction. He is not afraid of bad news. Bad news will not be the saint's undoing or destruction. Whatever the news is. Now here's the question, are you such a person? Am I such a person? Do you want to be that kind of person? Oh, to be a person who is not undone by bad news, whose life isn't shattered by bad news, who isn't destroyed by bad news. Well, the amazing reaction can only come from this revealed reason. Secondly, you know, I just checked the news this afternoon. Sometimes that's good to do. Sometimes that's bad to do on the Lord's Day. But I did it. There is a report of a woman, a newscaster. She's a very well-known broadcaster in India. She was reading the news. And as she's reading the news, a report comes in of a fatal accident on a highway. Three people were killed. And as she's reading the report, and maybe looking at the video footage from it, she realizes it's her own husband. Her own husband dies in the accident. And she calmly, without skipping a beat, I haven't seen the video, but I read the account, she continues to do the news for another 10 minutes. Calm, collected, just finishes. And people were amazed at her reaction to that kind of news. One reporter called it amazing grace. They used those words to describe it. Now, I don't know the woman. I don't know what was motivating her. I don't know if it was just some kind of attitude of professionalism that carried her through or what it was. But whatever it was, here in Scripture we see the only real reason, the only ultimate, foundational, lasting reason that someone can have for not fearing bad news. Again, people can respond to bad news in ways that look remarkably calm and unflustered, but may not have anything to do with Christianity. In fact, it could be very wrong things that are going on in someone's heart and life for them to react that way. But here in verse 7 is the real revealed reason behind people of whom it can be said they have no fear of bad news. We have to know this reason, or we aren't really not fearing the bad news in a right way. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. There's the revealed reason. We see, first of all, that the real reason is to be found inwardly. His heart is steadfast. Here is a person who doesn't live by external circumstances. He isn't someone who lives, whose ups and downs are completely dependent upon external things that are happening in their life. Something is different about them in their heart. It's their heart that makes the difference. Their heart is steadfast. And their heart is steadfast for a reason. There are really two reasons here, aren't there? Their heart is steadfast because they are trusting in the Lord. Their hope, their trust, their security, their refuge, their rock, their fortress, all the things that we've been singing about, is in the Lord. That is the real reason that a person can live the way verse 7 describes. He will have no fear of bad news because his heart is steadfast, and his heart is steadfast because he's trusting in the Lord. Over the fears for the Christian rises the character and the word and the works of God. And looking to those things and trusting that those things, having your heart steadfast in the character, word, and works of God. So that whatever fear or anxiety may initially arise in us, and I don't think any of us are beyond that. So one writer said, the believer acknowledges God as the guardian of their life. They entrust themselves to his preserving care and cheerfully resign themselves to his providence. It's looking above our circumstances to our God. It's to live by faith and not by sight. It's to look at our lives through different lenses than the world does. What is bad news anyway? What is bad news anyway? So I was thinking about it. I said, you know, we make such quick judgments about things. This is the worst thing that could ever happen. What is bad news anyway? I'm not denying that thing, we shouldn't call evil good or good evil, but what is bad news? Even the world understands that we don't know how things turn out. We don't know how things will turn out. There's an old story. It has several different versions, and you come across different ways it's told, but basically they all make the same point. Boys and girls, this is how it goes. A farmer once had only one horse, and one day his horse ran away. His neighbors came to him and said, "We're so sorry. This is such bad news. You must be so upset." But the man just said, "We'll see." A few days later, his runaway horse came back. And that runaway horse came back with 20 other wild horses following him. The man and his son corralled all 21 horses. Well, his neighbors came again and said, "Congratulations. This is such good news. You must be so happy." And the man just said, "We'll see." After a little while, one of the wild horses kicked the man's only son, breaking both his legs. So his neighbors came and said, "We're so sorry. This is such bad news. You must be so upset." And the man just said, "We'll see." A little while later, the country that the farmer lived in went to war, and every able-bodied young man was drafted to fight. The war was terrible, and every young man that was drafted was killed. But the farmer's son was spared, since his broken legs prevented him from being drafted. His neighbors came and said, "Congratulations, this is such good news. You must be so happy." But the man just said, "We'll see." Now, I know a story like that can be taken in a pagan way, in an unbelieving way, just to say that we can't know anything and life just goes round and round. But a story like that makes a point that if you're a Christian, based on the word of God, it's a very comforting and encouraging point to us. The Christian has much more reason for hope and comfort than just "we'll see." The Christian doesn't have any of the fear that an unbeliever has in the circumstances of this life. Whatever the ups and downs of life, For an unbeliever, it's all heading toward hell. That's the we'll see if you're an unbeliever. There may be good things relatively that happen to you. But unbelievers, after all the ups and downs of life, are headed toward an eternity of death and lostness and condemnation. Any good news, apart from Christ, is only temporary. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 says, Paul says, while people are saying there is peace and security, good news, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, the psalm begins. Thomas Watson said, the wicked may have many comforts, and still he is cursed. The godly may have many crosses, yet still he is blessed. Even in darkness, verse 4, light dawns for the upright. It's the light of God's word and God's truth and his promises. The believer, you see, whatever the ups and downs of this life, whatever people say, that's good news, that's bad news, whatever it is, the believer has, above and beyond the just resignation, we'll see, the believer has great and precious promises from God, yes and amen in Christ, for this life and for the life to come. This is the light that needs to shine in the darkness of bad news that we may receive. The light of God's truth that says nothing is by chance. Nothing is by chance. Isaiah 45:6, I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does these things. You know, there has often been in the Christian church a preaching about God, a view of God that removes him from bad news. If that's true in this universe, that's bad news. That God isn't in complete sovereign control over everything. Because that means there is a power apart from God that dictates things. That would be terrifying news if it were true. This may be hard at the outset for people to come to grips with. But the more you think about it, the more you realize if he's God, he's God. He's sovereign. And the more you think about it in Christ, the more comfort we receive that who is sovereign over the bad news? The same God who's sovereign over the good news. He is the God who has predestined us according. Ephesians 1:11 says it's according to the purpose of him who works out all things according to the counsel of his will. That's the light that shines in the darkness of bad news. And it's not just that we believe in a sovereign God, but we believe in a gracious and good God who is good to his people in Christ. There is a reason that Christians throughout the New Testament age have turned to Romans 8:28, because it comes to life as it is in a head-on collision with our circumstances and the truth of God and our doubts and our fears. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Again, we don't call evil good. That's wrong to do. And there are things that are evil and there are things that are very hard and sad and bad. But over and above those things, God works all things together for good. The bad news, too? Yes. Because otherwise Paul would have said God works all things except the bad news for good. It's all things for good. That promise doesn't mean hard things won't happen to us or in us. But it does mean that God uses everything that happens for his glory and for the good of his people. That's the light that shines in the darkness. In that light, and in that respect, in terms of ultimate purpose and plan of God, the Christian could say, no news is bad news. No news is ultimately bad news. We sang Psalm 121 this afternoon. No evil will befall you. What a statement. Is that really true? Are we just saying words? There are lots of things that happen, and Christians say, well, it looked like evil befell me there, or you, or someone in the world. But what God is telling us in that is that no evil purpose will ultimately succeed. Evil wants to overturn the purpose of God. And no evil is going to be able to do that. Every saint in glory will say, no ultimate evil has befallen me. God has worked out all things together for good. And so the Christian, trusting in the Lord, whose heart is steadfast, is someone who has no fear of bad news, who needs have no fear of bad news. Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were two men who had only heard bad news. And their minds were taken up with bad news. And Jesus comes alongside and says, haven't you heard the bad news? Are you the only one who doesn't know the bad news? We put all our hope in Jesus, and he's dead. They had only heard the bad news. But the cross was actually good news for the world. It was good news for believers because Christ's death meant life. And what looked like Christ's defeat was Christ's victory. And 3 days later, he is raised from the dead to show what he was doing on the cross, that God accepted it, and what good news it really was. And as I think about those believers on the road to Emmaus and the cross and the resurrection and the gospel, and boys and girls, the gospel literally from the Greek means good news. All the bad news that you may hear, all the bad news must be heard with ears that have first heard the good news of the gospel. And if your ears have heard the good news, then all the other news needs to be filtered through the good news of the gospel and the promises of God. The Bible is filled with those testimonies. And it's so good just to hear them wash over our minds and our hearts. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 34, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 56:3, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Jesus in the Gospels in Luke 21, speaking of the future and people's potential to fear when they heard bad news. He says, and when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified, for these things must first take place. And Jesus in the upper room says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You see, a steadfast and secure heart is built on the foundation of Christ and his word and his promises. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. And it goes on, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Again, Calvin on this psalm says, believers are not insensible to their trials, but the confidence which they place in God enables them to rise above all the cares of this life. What we need to remember, what I'm encouraging you from God's word to remember, the next time you get bad news, is to remember this. It's Luke chapter 2. And the angel said to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord.